This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. And you can always reach out to the show. Head over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page. Leave a comment there. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Text the show, 843-608-1734. Or you can always join the conversation on the phones. 843-721-9500. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in about 15 minutes, and stay tuned because we'll also be giving away tickets to the Battery's next match Saturday night at Patriots Point. So stay tuned for that coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk about college quarterbacks because one has a weird habit, but more importantly, who could be that sleeper this year? We always focus on a name or two, but if you go back and you look, very rarely is that guy the one that finishes the year, one or two. We all assume Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are going to be the top two quarterbacks in next year's draft class. But you also remember who was supposed to be number one in this last draft class? Spencer Rattler. And he's now still playing in college and for a different team with the Gamecocks. And Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback taken. Now, granted, it was a bad quarterback draft class, and Pickett went in the 20s. But nonetheless, a year ago, I don't think anybody was talking about Kenny Pickett being the first quarterback off the board or forecasting that season that he had. So as we look ahead to this year, who could that be? Because I think this is a great quarterback. We've talked about it on the show before. I think it's a really good quarterback class this year with a lot of names. And some of them are going to have disappointing years and really hurt their draft stock. Some of them are going to follow through, have good years. Some of them are really going to surprise you. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that you could choose from that could be towards the top of the list a year from now. But anyways, we'll do that a little bit later on this hour. But the NBA Finals resumed last night after a couple of days off with Game 3. And the Celtics got the win last night to move up in the series 2-1. Now, I told you yesterday the Celtics will win this series. I'm not going to overreact like some others have and tell you the series is now over. The one exception I keep saying this afternoon, the only difference would be if you told me that Steph Curry, after what we saw at the end of that game last night, if he's not 100%, if he's clearly going to be injured, hobbled for the rest of the series, then yeah, maybe at that point I'd tell you this series could be over. But otherwise, we're still way too early. I hope people that are saying the series is over realize that if Golden State wins tomorrow, it's a 2-2 series, three games remain, and the Warriors will be home for 2 of 3. This series is far from over. If the Celtics win tomorrow, okay, then we could talk about, yeah, this series may be over with. Tomorrow's the big game. You could tell me the stats, and I know the stats. I mentioned it yesterday, right? The teams that win Game 3 in a 1-1 series, right, win the series, whatever it is, 81% of the time. I know how theoretically important Game 3 is. But last night for Golden State, like, you lost that game? Okay, just like when Golden State lost Game 1. You got to win Game 2. They have to win Game 4. And they came back and they won Game 2 to keep themselves alive. And I think they'll come back and win Game 4 to keep themselves alive and give themselves the chance to then take the step up in the series, Game 5 at home. And the reason why I can't trust Boston to come out tomorrow and put together that great effort to put this series away at home, as they probably should, is because of how inconsistent they've been. And the reason why they've been inconsistent is because they're so young. Last night was the first time that you had three guys with that stat line, like at least 25, 6, and 5, whatever it was, since, you know, the Lakers did it in the 80s when Magic first came in the league, and, you know, you had James Worthy, whatever, a bunch of young guys. Right, the Celtics were led by three guys under 25 last night. You don't see that very often, especially in the NBA Finals. But it's hard to count on them. It's why the Celtics have been so inconsistent this postseason. One up, one down. One up, one down. Same thing will probably happen here. I think they come out and don't play as well tomorrow and lose game four. Again, assuming Steph Curry is healthy. But for last night's game, the thing that stood out to me most, and he's turned into a punching bag today, and a lot of times I will defend those that get wrapped up in the groupthink. Right? There's that one narrative you come away with and everyone wants to blame a certain person. You make it about Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant or this or that, whoever. And it's the same thing you hear everywhere you turn for your sports talk that day. And we try not to do that here on the Moore Midday Show. We mix up our topics. I hate a lot of the things about this industry, the very industry I'm in. I love the industry. I hate a lot of things that have become commonplace in the industry. But with that said, I am going to follow suit like many talking heads and also put the blame on Draymond Green today because I do think it's fair. I think it's fair to turn him into the punching bag today. And it's the same thing that I said going back when the Warriors were playing the Grizzlies in the second round. Same thing happened then, and it led to Gary Payton getting injured. You had a young Grizzlies team, and you had Draymond Green, who probably felt like, if I were to get into the mind of Draymond, right, that these guys can be intimidated, that we can be physical with them, and we can kind of, you know, scare them off a little bit. They've never been here before. They're young. We'll show them. Right, we're still the best of the team to beat. We're still that dynasty. We're still the three-time champions. Just like when you get a little, maybe a little big for your britches, you're beating the kids on your block in some pickup hoops, and then your older brother comes out and puts you in your place. Or even your old man, right, would play in the driveway, and you realize, like, oh, yeah, I'm not quite as good as I thought I was. Or you're feeling good around the house. Maybe you're talking a little trash. I was the youngest of three boys, so I went through this plenty of times. Your older brother, right, shuts you up real quick, puts you in the place. Took a few beatings growing up back in the day. You start talking a little trash to your older siblings, they'll shut you up real quick. Same idea with what Draymond was trying to do to the Grizzlies and really what he tried to do, and it worked in game two against the Celtics. Young team, the Celtics won game one. They were feeling pretty good. Draymond said, not so fast. Hold on. You know who you're messing with? We're the team that won three championships and are in our fourth or sixth appearance here in 8 years. And it worked in game two. It didn't work last night in game three. In fact, I thought it was actually worse for the Warriors. I thought Draymond got wrapped up so much in that other stuff. Instead of just playing basketball, I thought he was lousy. I thought he was a net negative. I thought he should have played less last night. I thought they could have used Looney more because the Celtics were beating them up around the rim, in the paint, second chance points. I thought Looney, who only played 17 minutes, I don't know why, was more valuable and he's had a better postseason than Draymond. Draymond's not the same player he once was. And that's also what you do when you can't impact the game in other areas. That's how you try to impact the game. And so as Draymond's skill level kind of drops off, right? Last night he had, what, 5 points, 3 points? He had more fouls than points. He has more fouls than made shots this series. When your skill level starts to drop off, that's when the physicality starts to increase. It's like when you play pickup hoops with somebody at the park, and the guy there that maybe he's the oldest guy in the court, or he may be the most out of shape. He's also the biggest hacker, right? Because he can't stay in front of you otherwise. His feet aren't quick enough. So he's just going to beat you up because that's the only way he could try to stay ahead. Same idea with even pro basketball players. As the skill level drops, that's when they start increasing that other stuff. That's when they become a little more physical. That's when they try to just rough you up. That's all they can do. Draymond hasn't made a three-pointer. He's shooting 33% from the floor. He's not scoring, doesn't get a ton of rebounds or assists anymore. But what he can do is he can be an energy guy out there. He can play tough defense. He can rough you up a little bit. He can try to intimidate you. And it worked well in game two. It did not work well last. I thought it backfired last night. The Celtics were ready to go. And so, again, to compare it to the Grizzlies series, it worked at first against the Grizzlies, and now the Warriors ended up winning that series, and I think they still win this series. But the intensity level increased. The Grizzlies said, okay, that's how you want to play it? All right. We'll match fire with fire, as Marcus Smart said yesterday. And it's what the Celtics did last night. And when you have to match that intensity, it leads to Gary Payton getting injured. It leads to Steph Curry getting injured last night. And so I compared it earlier to if you ever go out to the bar with a friend who's a real loudmouth, and he's ticking everybody off at the bar, and you're just there trying to have a good time, and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time just because you're associated with him, right? You're the one that takes the fist to the mouth. Somebody comes over and punches you by accident, or just they're throwing haymakers at your whole friends group because of that one buddy who's being obnoxious. Or you go to a baseball game, and he's talking trash, and he's picking fights, and they come over, and you want nothing to do with it. You're just there to watch the game, right? And they come over, and they start swinging at you, and you get knocked in the face. Like, oh, thanks a lot, pal. You got me punched. And that's similar here. Steph Curry is just trying to go win the NBA Finals. Draymond Green is trying to play like head games, and it gets Curry injured last night. It gets Gary Payton injured on a hard foul against the Grizzlies. And if I'm one of those teammates, like, you appreciate what Draymond's done. And look, he helped you win three titles a few years ago. It's not to totally diminish the role that Draymond Green plays. But I'm thinking, like, come on, can you take it easy a little bit? You didn't do much for us last night. Because of your antics, the Celtics now have ramped up their intensity. They're diving on the floor. They're going after a loose ball. Al Horford's going after Steph Curry. It hurts his ankle. And if he's not 100%, this series is now over. Now go out there and just play basketball. Not to sound like an old man yelling at the clouds. But I think Draymond certainly, right? Klay Thompson played well. Steph Curry was usual Steph Curry last night. Jordan Poole wasn't bad. Didn't have a huge impact, but, you know, he shot it decently. Didn't shoot it a ton, but made half his shots. Scored double digits. Looney didn't play enough, but when he was out there, it was solid. But Draymond brought nothing to the table. I thought he was a net negative last night. And when you want to increase that intensity, be careful, right, what you wish for. The other comparison I made in the past is Batman. You want to dress like a bat with your, you know, all your gadgets and everything. Well, now the villains you're going to go up against is going to be a penguin, and it's going to be a Joker, and whatever else. When you up the level, they have to try to match you or outdo you. When you get crazy, they're only going to get crazier. When you want to get physical and intense out there, Draymond, the Celtics are only going to match it and then some. And that's what they did last night. And Draymond was a non-factor. And Steph Curry gets banged up, and the Celtics win the game. Now, I still think the Warriors win this series. I think they win tomorrow. And they even up the series heading back to Golden State, and they're still, if they do that, they'll be in the driver's seat, even if it's a 2-2 series, because they'll have home court advantage. So to Kendrick Perkins and everybody else, cool it on the series over talk. This could still be, probably will still be, a long series. And we're talking about the Warriors here. And the team that's played more of these games than anybody else against the Celtics team that is so young and inexperienced and too inconsistent. I cannot trust that they're going to string together two or three consecutive big games to put this series away. I think they'll give the Warriors every opportunity to push this thing as long as they want. I think Golden State wins tomorrow, and we head back to the West Coast tied at 2 for Game 5, which that won't be until Monday. So we'll be on the air before Game 5, in between Games 4 and 5. I think the Warriors win tomorrow night and even up the series. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
Well, I believe in what you say. I just have a hard time choosing one team one time, the next team the other time. I try to, like, cheer for the same team. But I can understand directly what you're saying, and you're right about Green. He did ruin the game for them. Hard to believe, and I had a hard believing that was going to go over at the end, the total score, but it did make it because they scored a lot of points in the first half and in the third quarter. But everything happened for a positive, and feel good about it. Well, I called to advise you something not with sports. There was a program on TV similar to Cops. Cops is on now on the Reels channel. That's R-E-E-L-Z. And the live PD was here and was canceled in 2020. And they would show on a Friday night, 9 o'clock on A&E channel, and they would show the police going through different areas, like Cops. But we had it locally here in Berkeley County, and then they'd had all those cities across, and it was fantastic. We had watch parties, whatever, and then it got canceled in 2020. Well, the good news is for you listeners out there, it's coming back, and it's going to be called Live PD, and it'll be on the Reels channel. And you can get a little thought of it because, like, Cops is on tonight at 5 p.m., one of my favorite channels to listen to. And I'm sure Trent will enjoy it when he takes a look at it tonight to fill in because there's no basketball. But I'm telling you, Luke, it's going to be great. Dan Abrams produces it. It'll be on the Reels channel, R-E-E-L-Z, Z like zebra. I don't know if you ever watched or whatever, but please, you will say, Jim, you were right. This is something good.
I appreciate it. I do like, I did certainly like it, Live PD before it was canceled. We're going to put Trent in a Morrow Midday Show shirt, and we're going to have him go do something out there that gets the cops brought in, and we're going to get free advertising on Live PD. And if Trent ends up in the clink, well, so be it. That's the price of doing business. But if they're going to have that local police department involved still. I like that show. When I was living in Florida at the time, they always used one of the surrounding towns, one of their police, because obviously in Florida, so many wild things happen. And so, yeah, same idea. And then I came here, and similar. It was right here in your backyard. And so it's cool to see. I'm always fascinated by the production of it, how they're able to do it. Like, is it really live? And how do they move? It's like Red Zone on an NFL Sunday. And how they balance it and move around and everything, and they're talking to the – it's really cool, the production side of it. That's what impresses me most when I watch that show. Like, how do they do all this and make it so seamless? Anyways, big news, Live PD coming back. You ever get into that show?
Yeah, I was a cops guy. There's no doubt about it. A Live PD, great show. Now, as far as me, you know, putting on a Mara Midday Show shirt and getting, arrested, anything for the show, just trying to keep a job around here, folks. I say that all the time. A mock draft didn't go too well, even though I beat Mel Kiper. A couple other bets. So, you know, I'll take this one. If I got to go the clink for the show, I got to go clink for the show. It's good content.
Yeah, we'll grab the company card. We'll bail you out. It'll be fine. No problem. Welcome back, Live PD, eventually. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery when we come back and then give away some tickets to their next match Saturday night. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, the Charleston Battery are back home this Saturday. Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Patriots Point for Pride Night. Get your tickets online at charlestonbattery.com or just stay tuned. Give it a few minutes because we'll be giving away some tickets for Saturday's match in just a few minutes here on the Morrow Midday Show. So stay tuned for that. Your opportunity to get some tickets for Saturday's match for the Battery. Always a fun time over there at Patriots Point. Speaking of which, joining us now, a member of the Charleston Battery. He's a defender for the Battery. It's Tristan Weber, who's with us. Tristan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, Luke. How are you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. First year with the Charleston Battery. How have things gone for you so far playing here in the Lowcountry this year?
It's been awesome. I'm from California, so it's a bit different, but getting used to the heat and everything. But I'm loving it out here, and I'm really enjoying everything that's come my way, whether it's been challenges or things that have been going well. So, yeah, I've been loving it.
Yeah, you mentioned you're from California. Played at San Diego State University for college. San Diego's probably my favorite place I've been in this country. You must have enjoyed going to San Diego playing soccer there, huh?
Yeah, it definitely was the best of both worlds. Just being able to, you know, pursue my education as well as being able to play soccer in such a beautiful place and just have the beach right there. So, yeah. I loved it.
And then, you know, last year you played with the Las Vegas Lights before coming to the Battery. So you're in California, you go to school at San Diego, you go play in Las Vegas, even here in the Lowcountry. You've been to some pretty good spots. What was it like playing in Las Vegas a year ago?
Playing in Las Vegas was really fun. Obviously, I joined mid-season, so it was sort of, I got right into things, and it was a really great experience. And obviously, being in Vegas, it was pretty interesting. A lot of the games are very Vegasified, if I would put it. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it, and it's definitely different than being here. I feel like here's a lot more of a beautiful place, obviously, to be. So I really enjoy it here.
I can imagine. How have things gone for you individually? Well, first, let me ask you this: first year at the Battery, you played with Las Vegas, as you said last year, joining them mid-season. Take us through the journey, how you wound up with the Battery this year and how you're here in Charleston playing with the Battery.
Yeah, so I actually, after my time with Vegas, we mutually parted ways, and I was looking for a new challenge. And my agent had reached out to the Battery, and they offered me a trial. So my trial was during the Carolina Challenge Cup, which was those three games with the MLS teams. And through that, it went really well for me. And the coaching staff really liked me, and things worked out. And I'm just happy to be a part of the Battery family now.
Yeah, that's got to feel pretty good, right? When you get that call, or they call you into a meeting, however they told you, and let you know you played well enough, you earned a spot on the team. I imagine that's a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
What's the pressure like for you, though, going into those games where, you know, you're trying to earn your spot with the team, you're trying to play well enough, and obviously you did, and you had a big assist against Charlotte FC, and you earned a spot here at the Battery. But going into to those matches or to that type of event, what's that like as an athlete with that pressure, making sure, you know, you impress the potential bosses?
I think the biggest thing is just trying to, like, be yourself as much as possible, and trying to just remember that the little kid that I once was would just be very happy to be in a moment like this, and to just take it how it comes, and however many challenges come my way, and no matter how many times I fail, that I can just keep up and keep working hard. And at the end of the day, no matter how it goes, I can control what I can control, and it's the coach's decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, certainly a good perspective to have. You mentioned that little kid, so let's go back to when you were young. What was it about soccer that drew you to this sport growing up that now you've become a professional soccer player?
I loved it. I mean, I played baseball as well growing up, and I think for me the biggest thing that I took away was just how much fun and how I had a smile on my face always playing the sport. And just the opportunities that ended up coming with it, and really realizing that on top of that, that I was good at it as well, was also something that I became proud of throughout the years. But yeah, as a little kid, my older brother and sister played soccer, and they were both very good. And so I just grew up around it. My dad was a coach and coached at our high school as well. So I was very fortunate to play for him my senior year. There after being done with academy.
When you play for your father, is he tougher on you than anybody else on the team, or did you feel like maybe you got an extra break or two?
We dealt with it very well. We sort of separated our relationship when we stepped on the field, and he was very much just another coach to me when we stepped out there. But there are also times where we just look at each other and smile, because that was something we had both really wanted, like, our entire lives, to just be able to share that moment together. And yeah, no, it was amazing just being able to look on the sidelines after a win or after a goal and just see my dad there. So
yeah, I could imagine. So that's pretty cool to be able to play for him. Would you say your father had the biggest impact on your soccer career, on you as the soccer player?
Yeah, I mean, his impact for me was huge. The time he would take to help me train, even after he was done with work, the time he would take to just take me places, as well as my mom. They were both just awesome, and how they made time for everything so that I could be the best I could be, both as a player and as a person.
Talking with Tristan Weber from the Charleston Battery, their home Saturday night. Get your tickets online at charlestonbattery.com. We'll be giving away some tickets in a few moments. What's it been like for you? How is it, from your perspective, what's it been like for the home crowds playing at Patriots Point, being a member of the Battery here, playing at home in the Lowcountry this year?
The fans have been great. They've been showing out and showing their support every game, and we're really grateful for them coming out. Even though the results haven't necessarily gone our way, they've still showed up, been excited to see us, been happy with us, and yeah, we're really grateful to have fans like that. And we hope to see them on Saturday as well.
You mentioned the results maybe aren't what you guys have been hoping for so far. When you're part of a team that's maybe not winning as often as you would like, do you just, you know, do you stick with the status quo, figuring that it'll turn around? Because let me give you the context. Last hour we were talking about the Angels have lost 14 straight games in Major League Baseball. Yesterday they switched it up by using Nickelback songs for all their walk-up songs to try to get out of a slump. So my question for you would be, you know, when a team's scuffling, do you guys try to do something different to mix it up, like maybe listen to a little Nickelback in the locker room, or do you just stick to the status quo, hoping that, hey, eventually, you know, these are going to start turning into wins?
Yeah, I think we all believe that things are going to turn around and there will be a turning point when we look back on all this and we see how much we grew. And at the end of the day, it's just growing through. You know, a new coaching staff and everything. And at the end of the day, I think Nickelback isn't going to help us, but I think there are some things we are doing that we're changing some things around just with how we handle things at training and also holding each other more accountable on certain things as well. I think at the end of the day, we all believe that things will turn around and we're all willing to fight for each other. And I think we showed that last weekend. And yeah, I think we have a really good team culture. And I think at the end of the day, we'll be able to turn things around no matter what comes our way.
Yeah, I don't think Nickelback's helping anybody, not just the Angels or in this case you. You played baseball growing up. If you had a walk-up song, or say, you know, when you come into the soccer game, they play a song for you, what would be the band or the song? What would be your walk-up song if you had to choose one today?
That's a good question. I would have to go with probably Up, Up, and Away by Kid Cudi.
Ah, all right, Kid Cudi. Now, growing up in California, my geography is not great. Were you, as a baseball fan, did you grow up in an area of, like, Giants fan? Where were you in California? What baseball team?
So I was in Southern California, so I was, like, right in between L.A. and San Diego. It's a little surfer town called San Clemente. And I grew up an Angels fan just because that's what everyone around me was. But as I grew older, I became more of a Dodgers fan. And then, obviously, moving to San Diego, supported the Padres. So, sort of bounced around in that sense. But I would like to say I'm mainly more of a Dodgers fan.
Yeah, smart man. Choose the Dodgers these days. They're certainly the best team of the bunch out there. But somebody to choose from. Talking with Tristan Weber from the Charleston Battery. Are you superstitious at all? Forget the Nickelback and that sort of stuff. But just in general, do you have superstitions that you follow, you know, whenever you take the field?
Yeah, there's a couple. Not crazy superstitious. I was a little bit in high school, and then throughout college it sort of wore away when I realized it's more about just the things that I can control. But I have a couple. Just like praying before I step on the field is a big one for me. And I do a thing right before the whistle blows. I tap my shoes in like a certain way. But it's really just those two things. Sometimes, like for a while, I had a lucky pair of underwear. Tried switching that up actually recently, and seems that they weren't so lucky. So,
so you would what the lucky underwear? You'd have to wear them for each game, the same pair.
Yeah, it was a pair of Spider-Man underwear actually.
Spider-Man. Wow. Wow, Spider-Man, is that the favorite? If you had to pick a favorite superhero, you going Spider-Man?
Oh, 100%. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, we were just talking a little Batman last segment. I've always been team Batman over Superman.
I'm a big Batman fan, too.
All right, so big into the superheroes. Before we let you go, a couple last things. Oh, speaking of movies, I was told that a lot of people think you look like Bradley Cooper. Do you get that a lot?
I had never got that one. Until I grew my hair out and came out here. It was probably the longest I've ever had it. And I don't typically grow my hair out too often. But, yeah, everyone sort of hopped on that train, and I could sort of see it too. And then, yeah, there were actually a couple photos I was even looking at. I was like, holy crap, I really do sort of look like him right now.
Hey, it's not a bad thing to be compared to Bradley Cooper. You could do a lot worse. When you have a day off around here. Yeah, when you have a day off in Charleston, what have you found yourself doing here in the area when you have some downtime?
I mean, for me, I really love the beach, so either make it out to Isle of Palms. I've headed downtown a couple times and just enjoying the scenery of just the city. And the Battery itself is very beautiful, so I've walked that a couple times on a day off. But, yeah, I like to explore, and I like to find new things until I can figure out one that, like, I stick with. But at the end of the day, I think for me, I'm pretty simple, and I just like to end up at the beach.
Are you a surfer?
Yes, I am. My grandpa actually was a famous surfer, and my dad runs the company that he had started.
A famous surfer. Wow. So you come from that family. So you must be pretty good out there, huh?
I'd like to think I'm decent, but I don't have too much time for surfing these days with soccer, but
that makes sense. That makes sense. Before we let you go, last thing, when it comes to the Battery, getting back to the actual soccer of it all, what have you guys been working on? What are some things that you'd like to improve on as a team here as we head towards the second half of the season?
Yeah, we've been really focusing on a lot of our ball movement and just work with the ball and focusing on what we can control on that side of things and creating more chances in front of goal. And I think we showed that last game that we have the ability to score, and now it's just us believing that we can score more than one goal each game. And I think we all do believe, the coaching staff believes, that we are good enough on the ball to keep making that happen. And I think a big takeaway from last game is just also adding in the defensive pieces that we were doing well at the start of the season and just sort of incorporating it all together.
Well, the Battery will be back out there Saturday night for a home match at Patriots Point, 7 o'clock. Get your tickets online at charlestonbattery.com or stay tuned. We'll be giving away some tickets in just a couple of moments. And you can go out there and see the Battery and cheer them on Saturday and watch Tristan as well. Tristan, appreciate all the time and wish you the best of luck Saturday night and the rest of the season as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Tristan Weber of the Charleston Battery, one of their defenders, joining us to talk about a little bit of everything. Dewey Weber, grandfather. How about that? That's pretty impressive. I wish I knew about. We could have dug down deep into that, talking a little surfing. Trent, you ever tried to surf before?
Oh yeah, I've gotten out on the surfing waves, Luke. Now look, I'm not good. My balance is a little off, but yeah, I'll try. I had a couple buddies in middle school and high school who were big surfers, and so yeah, I mean, I would go out there. The only problem with surfing is like, you know, they call for a 6 a.m. It's like, we got to get there at 6 a.m., be at Folly. That's where the waves are good. Buddy, I'm sleeping. Like, I don't need to be getting up and fighting the waves at 6 a.m. It's cold. What are we doing here? I don't have a wetsuit. Come on.
It's true. It's a good point. Now, I could never surf. I'm not talented enough. Like, I tried snowboarding as a kid. I'm not athletic enough to do these things.
You can ski? Can you ski?
I've never tried skiing.
Really?
I
water
only do snow.
Or snow?
No, neither. I would only do snowboarding I would try as a kid. Never
Love
got onto
skiing.
The skis.
Love skiing.
So I don't think I have, like, the ability to stay on a surfboard or even ski. I can't do any of that stuff, so I wouldn't try. But that's a good point. Even if I could surf, I'll try to catch some waves later. Right? I'm not getting 6 a.m. Come on. What are we doing? Get out of here.
Yeah, the afternoon. I'll go in the afternoon. Yeah. Sun's going down. You know, it's prime shark time, though. So, you know, that's another thing that creeps through my mind. I look like a seal when I'm sitting on this board here. That's what they say.
I tell you what, I love Point Break. Great movie. The original.
That's yeah, the I'll original.
Get my, yeah, I don't know why they remade it already. I will get my surfing fix through Point Break. Bradley Cooper, that's pretty good. Anybody ever tell you look like a celebrity? You got anybody common?
Yeah, Terry Bass throws a couple names around here. I used to get as a little bit younger, young Matt Damon. That's what
Matt
I got.
Damon.
Yeah, I got Matt Damon, and then, you know, Terry throws around a name around here that I don't necessarily agree with. It's probably just the hair, but he throws Leo around every so often. So I'm not you know, bashing these comparisons. I don't mind, and Tristan shouldn't mind whatsoever being a Bradley Cooper comparison.
Cooper.
Are you kidding me?
That's pretty good. Leo, that's a good one.
What do they say you, you know, I kind of have an idea in my head, but I don't know if I can pinpoint it. What do they say you,
I've gotten
you
everything
like?
Over the years, and I don't agree with any of them.
Okay.
I've gotten Ray Romano. Which I do not see.
I love it.
I've gotten, and by the way, my father looks a lot like the brother in Everybody Loves Raymond. So I think that's also part of it. When my father and I are together, people will say, like, you know, it looks like Everybody Loves Raymond. Ray Romano, I've gotten Paul Rudd. And I've gotten a lot of John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah, okay, I could see it. Yeah, you'd be a Paul Rudd with a beard, there's no doubt, because he doesn't have the facial hair.
Yeah, I mean, that's a compliment, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Ray Romano, that's a little bit of a put-down, if I'm being honest, saying I look like Ray Romano. Yeah, come on, what are you doing to me? And John Cusack, I love John Cusack. I guess when he was younger, he was a good-looking guy, so I guess that's pretty good. And Paul Rudd, right, he's a stud. I don't think I look anything like any of those three, but those are the three I've probably gotten the most.
Hmm. I'm trying to pinpoint it. I can't do it. I mean, Ray Romano just made me laugh. Like, that's hilarious.
I look nothing like Ray Romano.
Just list everybody that was in Goodfellas, folks, and that's who Luke Morrow looks like.
Yeah. Everyone just said, I look like any Italian walking around. That's what people think. I mean, come on. Ray Romano. What are we doing here? Give me somebody I could be proud of. So, anyways. Yeah, Bradley Cooper. That's pretty good. Appreciate the time from Tristan joining us. You know, tell me I look like a young Marlon Brando. That'd be pretty good. I'll take that.
There you go.
Please. Hey, we got tickets to give away Saturday night for the Battery. 7 o'clock start at Patriots Point. We will get you the tickets. We'll send you the tickets. Let's make it real simple, as we always do. Third caller now. We'll give you the tickets. This Saturday night, 7 o'clock, the Charleston Battery at Patriots Point. Trent will get your information. We'll send you the tickets. 843-721-9500. 843-721-9500. Third caller now. We'll talk some quarterbacks when we come back. It's the Maurer Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Maurer Midday Show.
Down on the corner, out in the street, playing the ball for the plan, bring the nick up happy feet. Rooster hits the white road, people just got a smile. Lucas bumps a good face, and solos for a while. Bumpboy twangs the rhythm out on his column too. And Willie goes into a dance.
It's the Maurer Midday Show with Luke Maurer here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Tristan Weber of the Charleston Battery. And congrats to our winner on a pair of tickets to the Battery's match Saturday night. If you weren't the lucky winner, don't worry. You could still get tickets today. Go online, charlestonbattery.com, get tickets for Saturday night's match. And if you're there, you might even hear a familiar voice at Patriots Point Saturday. I may have to fill in. PA Saturday night.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I've never done soccer before.
Here we go.
So I may be the soundtrack of Patriots Point Saturday night. We'll see. So that'll be fun. But get your tickets online, charlestonbattery.com. We can all hang out together Saturday night at Patriots Point. Appreciate the time from Tristan. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. We'll get to some quarterbacks in just a moment. But we continue to talk in the commercial break about celebrity lookalikes. And, Trent, you had mentioned one that came to mind that is the tops, but a young Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, that one, I forgot about it, but there was this East Bay Deli in Mount Pleasant that had a big poster of him when he got arrested, mm-hmm. I believe for seduction, actually, back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And they had that big poster, and all of my friends would send me pictures of it and be like, is this you? I completely forgot about that one, but that one... It does look the most like me by far. It's kind of strange.
And that's the tops.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be compared to a young Sinatra more than even Matt Damon. Leo's right up there, too. We could have a good debate.
Yeah.
About a Sinatra versus a Leo.
I think I look a lot more like Sinatra than Leo.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And then I had a photo where at one time I looked like Al Pacino from the movie Serpico when he had the longer hair and the beard. And I was wearing a similar hat to Pacino and shirt. I actually do kind of look a little bit like the character. So that was the other one, too, that I forgot about. At least one day. I looked like a Serpico Pacino. I'll take that. Love Al Pacino. Hey, quarterbacks. I guess just because it's the offseason, right? It's the time of year I'm seeing all these rankings, these lists of the best quarterbacks in college football. I'm surprised to see how high Spencer Rattler is. I think he has potential and a high ceiling. But maybe it's the fact that I just can't get it over. The fact that the Gamecocks may have one of the best quarterbacks in the country, at least that's what people believe. On Three Sports ranked Spencer Rattler as the fifth best quarterback in college football this year. Wouldn't that be something? If South Carolina had a top five quarterback. I saw another list. Jordan Reed put together the best quarterbacks for next year's draft class, and Spencer Rattler made like the second tier of names. He wasn't in the top five, but he was in the next group. So like a top 10 quarterback in college football this year, at least amongst those that are draft eligible. And if he plays to that level, then who knows what the Gamecocks could accomplish. I'm not telling you they're going to go win the SEC. But they could be a really interesting team if they have a top five quarterback in the country. And I think Rattler has that potential. He has that ceiling. I don't know if he's going to get there because he did not last year at Oklahoma, and I think things are only going to be tougher with the Gamecocks. But it'll be fascinating to see. But I saw this one list, right? Everywhere you look, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams are the top three quarterbacks. And I would say rightfully so. But here's the rub. That every year we go in with our anticipated number one quarterback. And right now, pick your fighter. It's either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I think most people would agree it's one of those two. Probably Bryce Young will be your number one, especially after what we saw last year. The thing is, Trevor Lawrence was the outlier. Very rarely do we make it through the year, and that guy still is number one. If you go back and you look at the quarterback draft class, this past year, Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback taken. A year ago, we were not talking about, hey, Kenny Pickett's going to be the best quarterback in college football, at least amongst those draft eligible. The year prior, Trevor Lawrence stayed number one. Before that, Joe Burrow came out of nowhere to be the best quarterback. In 2019, Kyler Murray, yeah, he probably was. Dwayne Haskins, though, had a lot of hype going into that year. I think Kyler Murray, I'd have to think back. He may have been number one. But prior to that, like Baker Mayfield was a real surprise. Mitchell Trubisky. Those were guys that Trubisky wasn't even a starter the year before. In 2016, I mean, Carson Wentz went number two overall. Nobody knew who he was. You're not paying attention to FCS football. So a lot of times you go in thinking it's going to be a Marcus Mariota, right? Suck for the duck. Justin Herbert, and he probably should have been a top pick. But it's a lot of these guys that we thought it was going to be someone else, and then you're surprised, right? We thought it was going to be Tua. Actually, it was Joe Burrow was the better quarterback. Tua's not even the second-best quarterback in that draft class. Things change throughout a football season heading into draft time. So the point being, as we look at this quarterback draft, everybody assumes it's going to come down to Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud a year from now. And maybe it will. Trevor Lawrence was able to hold on to that number one quarterback status all year. But more often than not, somebody else sprouts up and surprises you as the best quarterback in that draft class. Who could that be this year? I think there are a ton of possibilities. I think the depth of this quarterback draft class could be really good. Around the draft, what was that, 6 weeks ago? I gave you a list that had about 15 names of quarterbacks I'm very intrigued by in college football this year. And it depends which way they go, right? They have the potential. Like a Will Levis could be a high-end quarterback. Spencer Rattler, as we already talked about, is another one. If they reach that ceiling, they could be a highly drafted quarterback, one of the best in the country this year. KJ Jefferson's intriguing at Arkansas. Even somebody like a Brennan Armstrong at Virginia. I think, though, maybe, and maybe I'm just buying into the hype, but Tyler Van Dyke. Now, he is getting plenty of publicity this offseason, but when you talk about the top-tier quarterbacks or you talk about the best quarterback, I hear a lot of Bryce Young, a lot of C.J. Stroud, a lot of Caleb Williams. I don't hear Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback at Miami. I think Van Dyke may be the guy. I'm all in on Miami this year. My one concern, I'll say this, though, the one concern is Mario Cristobal also had Justin Herbert at Oregon. And because of Cristobal's style, he's an offensive line coach. So he's kind of an old-school, physical football, run the football, win in the trenches. They did not unleash Justin Herbert. When you watched Herbert at Oregon, right, doesn't he look a lot better in the NFL now? A lot of people were surprised by how good he looked in the NFL. Part of the reason why he was only the third quarterback taken in his draft class after coming back for an extra year. He dropped. Why? Because when you watch him at Oregon, like, they weren't really having him do much. That's my one concern, is that with the Miami offense, it may not be so, right, Tyler Van Dyke may not shine as much as a quarterback somewhere else, because that's just not Cristobal's style. He's an offensive line guy, right? Run the football, play good defense. Let's make it easy on our guy instead of going out there and having him throw it 50 times. I'm curious to see what he does with Van Dyke. I thought he held Herbert back in college. I don't know if he'll hold back Tyler Van Dyke at Miami. But if there is a quarterback, I'm all in. I'm buying all the Tyler Van Dyke stock. And I'm saying a year from now, we maybe talk about him going first in this quarterback draft class. But it's one of my favorite storylines for this college football season, watching these quarterbacks, because after this past draft class and how poor that was, this year could be really fascinating. There's about 15 names that I have jotted down that any of the 15 could turn themselves into higher-end drafted quarterbacks. A lot in the SEC, about half the SEC. The ACC has some interesting quarterbacks this year. Boston College, NC State, Miami, Virginia. We'll see about Clemson. It's going to be really fascinating to see which direction these guys go in. Now, on the subject of quarterbacks, Will Levis is an interesting one at Kentucky, on and off the field. A year ago, he showed us that he eats his bananas with the peel on. He doesn't peel a banana. He just takes a banana and takes a bite right out of it like it's an apple or something. Eats the whole banana. Now, this week, we got more Will Levis information. Will Levis shared that he puts mayonnaise in his coffee. I don't know. I'm a big Will Levis guy. I don't know if I can trust a quarterback who makes these types of decisions. If you're eating a whole banana without peeling it and you're putting mayonnaise in your coffee, I don't know if I could trust you as my franchise guy with the football in your hands and a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Trent, are you a coffee drinker?
Big-time coffee drinker. Oh, yeah.
Would you ever put mayonnaise in your coffee?
No, that's asinine, Luke. I would never put mayonnaise in my coffee. I do black coffee only, sometimes tad bit of creamer if I'm feeling a little saucy. But no, those comments from Will Levis, the mayo in the coffee is just absolutely asinine. Can't get behind it. He's not my quarterback. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, it's very concerning. It's about decision making, and that's not a good decision. Who's putting mayonnaise? And are you a mayonnaise guy?
Not really. I've gotten a little into it. You know, nice mayonnaise. You know, aioli, if you will, on my Sammy. You know, or two. I don't mind, but I'm not a huge mayonnaise guy.
I do like mayonnaise. I don't drink coffee, but I wouldn't put mayonnaise in any drink.
No.
Who's putting mayonnaise in their coffee? The guy's eating bananas whole. Would you ever eat a banana without peeling it?
Again, that's, what is this guy doing? Come on.
Unbelievable.
Hey, pal, just peel the banana. That's
seriously.
It.
Right. How can I trust you? If I am an NFL team, in one of those meetings next year at Will Levis, I'm going to show him. Right? Show me you can peel a banana first and eat a banana like a normal person, and then maybe we'll consider drafting you. Show me you keep your Hellmann's just to your tuna fish sandwiches, and then maybe we could draft you in the first round. A lot of interesting quarterbacks in college football this year. We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
Wrapping up your Thursday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And you can listen to the show live or on demand from anywhere in the world through the free app, ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Get it today. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 11 different states and multiple countries on this Thursday. LIV Golf Tour off and rolling. We talked about that earlier today. You can find it on the podcast. But Alan Shipnuck, who is the one that put out the quotes and the information about Phil Mickelson, the gambling, what he originally said about the LIV Golf Tour, Shipnuck said, this was about 20 minutes ago, he was physically removed from Phil Mickelson's press conference today. And the security guards said they were acting on orders from their boss. So that's interesting. This whole thing is going to be interesting, and we're probably just getting started in all of this. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. We'll get ready for Game 4 of the NBA Finals tomorrow. I still think the Warriors win tomorrow and still win the series. But we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, tomorrow. Plus, some of the biggest questions in college football. We'll answer them tomorrow on the show, looking ahead to the season, and a whole lot more. On what we'll maybe try to make a Football Friday tomorrow. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.